Happy Friday, Plant City. I'm Justin Klein. She's Brianne Williams, and we'd like to welcome you back to the 6 Feet Apart cast. The Plant City Observer is bringing you the latest on all things COVID-19 around our area week after week. And as always, we're going to start with the news from this week's EPG meeting. So, Bree, take us through it. What happened?
Okay, so this obviously will not come as a surprise, but our numbers are high again. As of Thursday afternoon, the numbers for Florida, so the entire state, this is not just the county, but for Florida, they were 69,069. So that had 2,938 deaths, which is 1,698 more positive cases than the day before. So EPG members were not happy, but there was a lot of discussion on what the data actually meant. So I'm going to briefly sum up what was a very long meeting. You can go watch it on the county's YouTube page if you would like all of the dirty details. But essentially, there's not one specific bar that we can hit that will let the group know, okay, we need to act immediately to get this under control again. So Dr. Douglas Holt with the Florida Department of Health said that the issue is more about hospital capacity, and right now we're really okay with that. Young people, and interestingly enough, there was recently a rise in positive cases in children under the age of 14 in the county, are the growing demographics. So that's the working population. We're seeing more and more infections in that age group. And the question is why? For the really young children, you're looking at their parents being the ones that are that working population. So they're getting sick in a lot of cases, bringing it into the home. Why? Well, the state's continuing to relax its policies, and instead of going with precaution, a lot of people are deciding to just go about as if everything is back to normal. Obviously, that is not the case. There's people at the mall and at bars and at movie theaters. There's people in supermarkets without masks on. There are people prepping for the theme park trip of their dreams, even though that's probably a terrible idea to do right now. Essentially, the EPG was told that if people will wear their mask, if they'll wash their hands, and if they will try to social distance when they can, that there's a chance that we can prevent a second wave. But our window of preventing that wave is closing, and if people are not careful, we will more than likely continue to see things spike. So then the debate began once more among all of the members, really, at the virtual dais, and they essentially were saying, what does the EPG do? How strict should they get? Do they mandate masks? Do they strongly encourage masks? Do they try and get local sports stars and celebrities to tell people to wear masks because they aren't listening to the politicians and the scientists? So it was a really long discussion. They did decide to act on one thing in particular, meeting more. Yeah, so the EPG is back to meeting twice a week, Monday and Thursday, 1:30 p.m., there were two no votes, essentially, for that. Plant City Mayor Rick Lott and School Board Chair Melissa Snively both voted no, but it carried with the rest of the group voting yes. So tune in Monday at 1:30 p.m. to get the next update.
All right, we're going to move on now to our talk of the town. Black Lives Matter protests and rallies have been the hottest topic in town since they started up last Tuesday, and you've all been pretty active on our Facebook, speaking your mind. Here's what some of you had to say. This is for last Thursday's rally, which headcount-wise wasn't the biggest of the protests, but based on what we've read, my personal opinion is this one might have had the most impact among people who haven't typically been fond of these protests here in Tampa and all over America. A lot of people had a lot of positive things to say about it. So we're going to start from the top, and as always, I apologize if I mess your name up because I am not perfect, so please don't think of me as such. Anyway, Jessica Williams said, protest done right. This is the way it should be. People all around need to take this and repeat this in their town. This is how you make change. This is how we come together. So proud of my community today. B.A. Armistead said, the norm has been it begins with legitimate protests and mourning for George Floyd, then becomes rioting, looting, and destruction. It is why downtown is boarded up, not because of the protests, but what usually follows. The same reason the sheriff's office had people in riot gear, better safe than sorry. We are blessed we had legitimate protesters versus the mix with the outside rioters. What would be awesome is if the protesters shut down rioters in the other cities, don't allow them to pull away from the legitimate protest cause of focus on George Floyd. Sandy Harris said, I'm so proud of Promise. That is Promise Goodwine. I'm so proud of the way this protest was done. We can never understand what black people go through, but with prayer like this protest used, we can change lives, circumstances, and the way all lives are treated, from the homeless on the street to the CEO of the largest corporation. I think we have to remember one race or one job position doesn't represent all. I worked at the school for a long time. I saw just as many rude white kids as I did black. I had coworkers who were of different races, and I care about all of them, red and yellow, black or white. All are precious in his sight. Oh, that was a poem. Dylan Huntsman said, as one of the lady speakers said at the courthouse, quote, "We can't change the world, but we can change Plant City. We can't change the world, but we can change Hillsborough County," end quote. Karen Erickson said, "Too bad we can't get this kind of response for other events downtown to support the city." Fran Davenport said, "Proud of Plant City for being kind and considerate and for the peaceful group that showed up. They made more of a statement than the rioters for sure." Just a heads up, you guys, there's going to be a protest at the racetrack Soho intersection on James Redmond every Tuesday for the foreseeable future, probably in the afternoon like always, and we have also been told that there is one planned for Juneteenth, which is coming up soon. That one's supposed to be downtown. Anyway, we're going to move on to the Introvert's Guide to Self-Isolation, which is starting to sound more like a Cool Things to Do segment now that way more people are going back out, as we just discussed earlier. And as you, well, if you heard earlier, if you were paying attention, infection rates are starting to pick up again between Florida's quick transition from reopening phase to reopening phase. Throw the protests into the mix, especially with the bigger cities, and there's a ton of people coming together outside. And possibly also people just finally having had enough sitting at home going stir crazy, and they took matters into their own hands because what other choice do they feel like they have? I don't know. Regardless, we're here to help you not be bored if you have to stay home for whatever reason, whether you're sick or just don't like people or, hey, you do you. So here's something that was a hot topic in this past Tuesday's protest. If you went, you were able to register to vote right there on the spot on a clipboard. We do have elections coming up this year, and I just want to remind everyone that no matter which way you lean politically, it's important to get out there and cast your ballot, let your voice be heard, or you can also mail it in if you prefer not to risk COVID or if you just hate being around people in general, which describes quite a few of us here in the office. So there's still time to get signed up before the August 18th primary and obviously for the November 3rd general, but be aware you have until 29 days before any election to register to be able to participate in it. So if you wait until there's 28 days left until the August 18th primary, you're going to be able to vote, but not in that one. You got to wait till the general in November. So whether you think things are better off staying consistent or if you think some things need to change, you can help either way by getting out there and casting your vote. All right, what about you, Bree?
Okay, so if you've been paying attention to the news at all right now, you know that our country is facing a period of civil unrest, and we have been covering every protest and every meeting between the city and community leaders, and it has sparked a lot of great conversations throughout Plant City. One thing that was inspiring was seeing people on some of our local social media sites, as well as in person, kind of post about and recommend literature and films that highlight the ins and outs of the movement. Black Lives Matter is not a controversial statement, but for some people, there are layers to the claim that make them uneasy. So a conversation on race has sparked throughout the nation and right here in Plant City. IGers of Plant City, which is an Instagram account that has more than 7,400 followers, highlights everything to do in town, everywhere to go, and what the culture of this community really is. And it did a call out for Black-owned businesses that people supported. That thread's amazing. I highly recommend you go and read it. Community leaders sat down with Chief Duncan and Mayor Lott and City Manager McDaniel both last week and this week to discuss the hopes they have for the city going forward and what changes they want to see. Those conversations are everywhere. I went to Crazy Cup Thursday morning and a group of people were sipping on coffees in the courtyard and discussing what it means to be white in America versus what it means to be black. I popped over to Parksdale to get some produce on Tuesday and the couple ahead of me were sharing some of their favorite and most eye-opening books on the topic. So I did some digging on my own and I rounded up a list of the books you can pick up if you're interested in becoming more informed and joining in on the conversation. All of these are available at any bookstore, at the libraries, you can get them online. And they are topping the charts right now for a reason. So the one book everyone is discussing right now is White Fragility, Why It Is So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism by Robin DiAngelo. It's a bold title, but it is a really great look at what assumptions people have and where they came from. And it challenges those ideas in a thoughtful way and lays out how those preconceived notions on how the world works inadvertently maintain racial inequality. Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates has soared back to the charts. It was there at the top. It was a New York Times bestseller, and it has soared once more. And Coates writes this book as a letter to his teenage son about the realities and emotions of all the symbolisms that are surrounding being Black in the U.S. It's a short read. I did it in one sitting, but it is brilliant and definitely will stay with you for years to come. James Baldwin wrote The Fire Next Time, and it was groundbreaking in 1963 when it was published, and it is just as impactful today, which many activists are saying sums up the whole point of why the Black Lives Matter movement is needed in 2020. They Can't Kill Us All by Wesley Lowery is a memoir that explores his history of spending his entire life reporting on police brutality and the deaths of Black people in America. It's a very in-depth look at America's racial justice movement, and it is heavily data-driven. I highly recommend. If you are interested in more options, New York Public Library has a list of over 90 books that they believe are essential reading during the movement. You can head to nypl.org to find the list there and peruse and find your next favorite read.
All right. And we are going to end the show, as always, with a look for the helpers. It's positive vibes only in this little corner of our show. And as I do every week, I want to ask all of you listeners out there to please keep us in the loop with positive news and uplifting stories for us to talk about here on this podcast. Bree, you go first. What made you super happy this week?
I got something really interesting in my inbox this week that warmed my heart. The Community Pet Project, that's a Hillsborough County 501c3 whose mission is to assist the pets of the homeless and those at risk by supplying basic needs, including but not limited to food, treats, toys, grooming supplies, medical referrals, and medical co-pays. So the reason they sent the email was that since March 18th, this group has expanded their mission to assist those in the county that have been affected by COVID-19. They're providing food for these domestic pets. So as of April 26th, they had 96 deliveries and 78 pickups. That means that they fed 375 dogs, 229 cats, 5 parrots, 1 ferret, 2 hamsters, and 4 guinea pigs. Of those, 13 Plant City residents were helped by this organization, and that was a total of 58 pets in Plant City. And that was the data that came in from several weeks ago, so that more than likely has gone up even more. And if you are in need of pet food assistance, email them at communitypetproject@yahoo.com. They can arrange pickup or delivery all free of charge.
Okay, and if you've been keeping up with us these past few weeks, you've seen our latest recurring feature, which is called Answering the Call. That's the one where we tell the stories of Plant City area nurses who go or have gone out of town to treat COVID patients. Well, actually right now, all of them have been going to New York City and the surrounding area thus far. So, I mean, that makes sense because that place was hit real bad, but it doesn't have to be New York if you or a nurse, or you know someone who is a nurse, maybe you're related, maybe you're a friend, who knows, whatever. We'll write about anybody who went anywhere to treat people fighting the virus, and it'll go in our Answering the Call section, so you can reach out to me. But we started things off a few weeks ago by telling Erin Smoody's story, and she gave us a much more positive take on things than you'll usually see in the news. We featured Krista Ganey last week, and that one was a doozy. That woman has seen some stuff that could break most people, and yet she keeps going strong with this thing. I mean, she was nursing in New York during 9/11, and now she was here for this. So that she's still in that career probably speaks volumes about her mental strength. And this week, you can read about Lexi Schlute's trip to Brooklyn and her experiences in a hospital that at one point had every floor dedicated to treating COVID patients. Just a heads up, some of the details and the anecdotes in these stories can get pretty dark, but all the nurses have also had plenty to say about having hope and seeing things improve bit by bit. You got to take the good with the bad here because it's important to hear both of these things when talking about COVID. You guys can check out our stories in print and online when you get a chance. And I just have to give a shout out to all the men and women out there who are answering this call, these nurses, because putting yourself in the epicenter of the fight is a really brave thing to do, even right now when things are starting to maybe slow down a little bit, even though they're kind of picking back up in Florida. You know, people are more comfortable, more things are reopening, so things are changing. But if you're still going out there and treating COVID, no matter what, you rock. Anyway, on that note, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. Stay tuned for next Friday's podcast. And as always, you stay safe, Plant City.